Hi, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. What a fantastic film The Arctic Convoy is.
Thank you.
I was riveted from beginning to end watching this.
Thank you so much for saying that.
I knew about the convoys during World War II. I did not know the extent of them, and I did not know Norway's involvement.
Exactly.
To me, it was just fascinating. And to hone in on this particular, inspired by a true story, because if I'm not mistaken, this story kind of revolves around the incident in the summer of 1942, with the PQ-17 convoy, I think.
Mm-hmm, correct.
But the way this is told, it's not the chills and thrills and bombastic things we expect in a World War II film. There is such humanity in this film, and we really get to understand and see from a civilian perspective, because these are all civilians on these ships. They're not military. So to see a turtle and a dog and to see how they interact and how the captain treats them and the things he wants to protect them from, the humanity that comes forth in here is just fascinating. Absolutely fascinating, Henrik. I applaud you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How did this story come your way?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, it's a special thing for me because my grandfather told me, this is my first memory, being like this young boy, was my grandfather's stories from the war, from World War II. He was not on the sea, but he had a lot of experience with all the people that, you know, he was quite young at that time, but he remembered so vividly the sailors coming home after the war, and he told me about them. And when this project came along and the producers called me 2 or 3 years ago with this script, it felt, oh, now it's time to do this story that I've heard since I was like 5 years old. So it was very special for me, and also my brother, who is a cinematographer. We work very closely, and it was like just a special thing to do this film. And for me, you know, it's inspired by the PQ-17, the ship itself. It's a fictionalized ship. This is not a real ship in this film, but we had the ability to make our own characters, not based on real, you know, human beings. So that was nice to kind of like to have the ability to make them our own in a way. At the same time, they're based on like sailors in different ways and how they like. Of course, the radio operator, they were, you know, on Norwegian ships. There were not many, but there were some female radio operators as well as, you know, the females or women working on other places in the ship. So that was also for me. It's important and nice part of the film to have. This, I think she's a very interesting character as well. So going into this film, it was about, as you said, for me, it was about humanity and the human, how it, like, how, you know, being on sea during World War II, how it affects a human being on a physical and, most importantly, on a mental, psychological level. That was very important for me going into this, to focus. At the same time, it's an action thriller. There's a lot of, you know, explosions, spectacle, but for me it was part of the film was the humans and the humanity. So I'm so glad you saw that in this.
Oh, I just right away, and you know, as we have one sailor, he brought his box turtle and kept him in a box, and we have the dog that, you know, walks around. Yes, he's there in the galley getting everybody feeds him, everybody pets him, kind of like what people today would call them, you know, emotional support animals.
Like that, they were, yeah, for sure.
Then, at the heart of all of this, what really comes to light is the battle, the potential mutiny that Mork is entertaining against the captain. And to see the response, especially, I have to tell you, Heidi Ellingsen as Ragnhild, She is amazing, amazing in this film. And to see her stoicism, and you see, as Mork is saying, coming up with his idea, well, I'm technically in charge now. You know, he's hurt. He's out cold. He can't captain the ship. I'm going to do it. And everything he says, you see the wheels in her head turning, rationally weighing the pros and cons of what he's saying. And it's fascinating to watch her. Similarly, with some of the other crewmen who are just, they're young, they're confused, they're perplexed, they don't know what to do. But she's the one that really stands out. And the fact that you did have a female second in command, third in command, radio operator, that in and of itself is just outstanding. Was it difficult to find Heidi for that role?
It's interesting because, like you were saying, that I'm so proud of her performance, and I know for that character. I mean, and to say, you know, she's kind of like the moral compass of the story in a way. And it's, you know, it's also about this very, I think the film raises many interesting questions also about loyalty and how difficult it can be in a way, in standing in this, between this first mate and this captain on the other side. But for finding Heidi, it was she's like this big musical star. She's the biggest musical star in Norway. So she's very well known, but people didn't know she could act in films in a way. She didn't get the opportunity to do that before this film. So this was her first, like, her breakthrough role in a film. And I'm so glad for her. And she did, she came in to do this audition or this filming, this test, what's it called? This audition. And she was magnificent. And I didn't expect it. I was blown away by her. So it was so easy to pick her in that role.
And the camera loves her. When she is in a scene, your eyes go right to her. She is the one that you really gravitate towards on scene to hear what she's saying. What is she observing? What is she saying? And it's really interesting when you get her, you get Mork, you get the captain, you get them in a room together or up on the bridge. And it's very interesting to see that dynamic. So your casting is very important here. And you did such an excellent job with each individual cast that you have. They stand alone individually, but then that chemistry together, it's jarring. It may not be in synchronization, but that's exactly what we're seeing unfold on the ship. Just really impressed by that, Henrik. Was it difficult to cast this entire film?
Yeah, that was quite a long process. You have to do this. Is like in Norway, it's a big budget film, and then that comes with some expectations in terms of, you know, have famous names, and Scott and Merck is very, they're famous actors in Norway and also very good actors. And I haven't worked with none of them. I knew them privately, but not like from a, you know, professional experience. So I was so glad to work with Anders and Tobias in the, you know, leading roles. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the rest of the cast, I did, you know, some of them are quite inexperienced, and some of them have just done theater work, you know. So it's a combination of different backgrounds in a way. Some theater animals, some have done like this youth TV series in Norway, and it's a combination of different backgrounds, and coming together as a whole, as an ensemble, was very important for me. So we had this boot camp, we had this, a lot of, you know, social stuff before starting the production to kind of like, because in this, for me, it was important that all of these actors felt that they have the same, they were as important as the next one, so they were all like in this together in a way, to kind of create this group. This is not about a single actor. It's like the group. So this is about an ensemble. I think that shows in the film.
I mean, you're on a ship for how many, for a month, 2 months, going through some of the most treacherous waters during the war. and you're stuck there together. You got one guy yelling, I have to get off this ship. I have to get off this ship. There's nowhere to get off to. And you feel, I mean, his fear, his obsession to get off, it was so palpable. But I think it was very smart of you to really have them be together, to work with them, do a boot camp, so that we got, it comes through on screen that here they are. They may not all like each other. They may not all like why they're there or how they got there, but they're stuck there and they better make the best of it. And you really see that, and it influences responses, even just facial expressions. And it's really interesting to watch it. And the fact that you and your brother, Oscar, let the camera linger on faces, I just so love that, because you see so much on somebody's face, especially in this film. I so appreciate that you let the camera linger.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
When you got this and you're going to direct this, how did you start approaching the visuals for this film? You've got your people, you've got the cast, the crew. How do you start approaching the visuals on this? Did you know that you would have access to any kind of ship? Did you have to build everything from scratch? What was the actual technical approach to this for you?
That was the biggest, I think, for me, like the most time-consuming, at least, part of making this film was that part, because the plan initially was to find a ship we could, like a real ship we could shoot on, like go out on sea and do it, like, you know, in not in a real way, but kind of like shoot a lot on location on a real ship. But they didn't find it. It wasn't, there's one in Norway that's an old ship, cargo ship from the time, but it's not possible. It's a museum now. So we ended up using that ship as a blueprint, as like a starting point, that we made our own ship. So we built half of the whole deck, everything, the bridge, everything. We built that on land with blue screen around it, the whole ship. And then we had another, a bit smaller, but quite a Swedish ship that was a real ship that we used on sea. It's a bit smaller, but at least it could combine those ships. And in addition to that, we made like this 3D CGI model for the wild shots, and we did a lot of shot a lot of things on the sea out in all in Norway. So it's a combination of, you know, different locations, studio work, location work. It's a very complicated process to kind of, you know, puzzle this, or to kind of like combine all these different technical aspects. But for me to find the right approach, and I wanted to do this a bit messy, not messy, but a bit, you know, gritty, and not that bit dirty, not too beautiful in a way. I think the film itself is beautiful in its own way, but it's not about making it beautiful. It's about something real and something brutal and something, you know, it's about nature, it's about sea, it's about, you know, ice, it's about, you know, this part. So it's kind of like to work with the camera and to let the actors kind of decide where the camera should move, so that the camera is always moving after the actors and not the opposite way, which is quite common. So that was kind of like it was a little bit of a documentary kind of approach to it. At the same time, I wanted it to look like it's a spectacle. I wanted it to look, of course, in its own way, big, to be used that bad word, but you know, it's, and then also the whole palette to work with the production designer, the costume designer, the makeup designer, to find a look and to find something that works together with the scene and the weather and the ice. It's kind of bluish, but I then wanted the film to feel cold. We also have quite vivid skin colors and, of course, warmer interiors. It's a lot of, you know, I'm just talking, but it's a big part of my job as director, of course. But also it was very interesting to go into like this research, and also, you know, seeing photos from the time, of course, black and white mostly, but, you know, films from that time, and, you know, documentaries. It was a lot of work, but also very, very
Well, I love that you use the word gritty, because that's exactly what I felt as I'm watching it. Because you feel, and it's not just the guys are all, they look kind of dirty. You've got black smoke coming out, chimney stacks, from the engine room on up. All of that filters down. It's a great contrast to the purity of the white ice. But these aren't clean military ships. These are just run-of-the-mill coal ships, transporters. So they're not going to be ship-shaped and shiny or anything, and they're wood. There's a lot of wood here. And I love the fact that there are those shades of gray. There's shades of gray within the story itself, and that's also translated visually into the shades of gray that we see with the ship itself, with the contrast with the ice, the water, the sky, and at times with the cloudiness that is created, it really muddles it all. You can't really see what's there, which is ideally what you want as your poor convoy is trying to get through the Barents Sea. But it fits emotionally, and I really appreciate the thought that you put into that to bring that to life, because you do feel the cold. I felt cold watching it. Especially your sound design comes in, and there are moments you can hear ice breaking as the ship is going through ice. It's subtle, but it's there. You can hear the water as we have people falling into the sea, which I'm sure happened more often than anybody realizes over the course of these convoys.
Absolutely, yeah.
Those little details, Henrik, it creates this world. You transport us into this world. But talk to me about your sound design and what Kristen Schanning did. I love the sound design and your sound mix here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think the sound design is so easy to forget and to not like. It's like, in a film like this, it was crucial. It was absolutely crucial to get the feeling that you're on the sea, and how the sea affects the boat. It's its own character in the film. And Christian is one of the best, maybe the best one we have in Norway. He's worked a lot overseas as well, and he's very experienced and also very curious and very creative. And we talked a lot about the journey itself, going from this wet weather at the beginning, you know, being at sea, for the whole film, but also how it changes from the wet, rainy sea to the dry, ice, Arctic landscape at some point later on, to kind of have this journey as well, and how, of course, in terms of the weather and how the sea affects the ship, and how much we can hear of the things happening, on the outside of the ship. It's very, very important, and it worked very detailed to find. It was a long process that took a lot of months, but it was a very, very, very meaningful and interesting work for, I think, both of us. And also, of course, the own sound mixing everything together was so important for the film. And I think I'm so glad that people are pointing out and also giving him very, very deserved recognition for his work in this film, because it's so important for this whole film experience, I think.
Well, and the fact that you and Kristian, you also embrace total silence. There are moments, and there are key moments where, as you're watching it, you're holding your breath, because it is so taut and so tense as to what might happen within the next moment. And you don't have score there. There is no sound. It is as if the world is holding its breath at that moment. And so many filmmakers are reluctant to have silence in certain moments. And I'm glad that you did not shy away from that, because it really adds another layer of authenticity to the experience of watching this film. Just really smart move on your part.
Thank you. You know, that was, you know, think films, all films need dynamics between like loud and silent, and how to use that. Different dynamics, of course, but I think also a World War II movie and like this kind of movie, it really needs that, and it enhances the whole experience. And also when it's going to blow up in your face and be like big and bombastic and large, it appears in a better way when you have these silent, calm parts as well, and it's so effectful and so important. So that was something both Chris and I, we were very in sync in that terms, in that sense, to work on that kind of where to do less and where to do more, in a way, like to kind of like, yeah. Thank you for saying that.
I'm glad you stuck to your guns with the producers and you went the way you wanted to go.
Yeah, when they heard it, they said, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
How challenging was the editing on this one? Because there is tension. There are elements of war here. And then there's all of the individual human elements that come into play to tell this story. Finding a tone could not have been easy in the editing room. Talk to me about the editing on this one.
Mm-hmm. No, it was. We had three editors that had different skills in a way. It was because we shot this film from March to May last year, and it had to be ready for a December premiere. That's quite short, you know. We had just 5-6 months to complete the film in post-production with a lot of CGI. It was, it was a tough job, but also, yeah, very fun in a way. And the editing went really well. I'm glad because the script was so well prepared, and we shot everything we needed in a way. We didn't, you know, during editing, we didn't miss anything. It was maybe some shots here and there, but that was like minor things. But the first assembled film felt really, not really good. It felt okay, but it was felt better than usually. So we had the producers, myself, the screenwriters, the editors had a good feeling going into this. But it was a very intense period. And I think, you know, because the three of them have different backgrounds and skills, and like, you know, we have like Elisa, which is she's very good at editing the best out of actors to find the best take, to kind of find the emotion of the heart of the film in an emotional way. And we have Colin, who's very technical, very good at, you know, these action sequences, and also then Christian, who also wrote the screenplay, is very good at the whole, like, to see the film as a whole, to have the whole journey. So they kind of like worked very good together on this film, and it was a pleasure to work with them, honestly.
How much research? Obviously, you got the script already done, but how much research did you have to do before commencing this project?
Yeah, I had to read. I had to see some documentaries. I had to read some books about, like, written about the war sailors and that. But to be honest, before going into the film, I'm very interested in history. So I knew a lot about World War II and also the sailors, the war sailors. So I kind of like knew, not a lot, but quite a lot. So going into this, I knew what I was like dealing with in a way. So it was more about finding the, what to call, like, these diaries people have written, like, find these, you know, human beings that have lived as a war or experienced this war sailor's life in a way, to find different, you know, human beings, real human beings that I could, like, use in a way and learn from and read about and meet and talk to. There's, at the time we were shooting the film, there's only three war sailors still alive in Norway, out of 30,000.
Wow.
So it's like, it's dying. I think it's only two of them, but it's, so, but they have, of course, children that knows a lot about this. So it was important to work with, and also different consultants that they could talk to. So it was going into more on a, like, what to call, like, more
Yeah. You wanted to bring in some of those personal experiences.
Exactly.
And that's always important. Now, when you make a film like The Arctic Convoy, because this is inspired by a true story, because this does touch on the lives of so many tens of thousands who were part of this story and their families who had to worry, was their husband, son, daughter coming back? Were they going to make it through to Murmansk and then make it home? Does that put any kind of internal emotional burden on you to do an even better job, to really pay homage and tribute to these sailors who did so much?
Yeah, to be honest, I couldn't think too much about it because that burden is a bit like it you know, too much doubt is not good in a way. Mm-hmm. Going into this very hard process of making a film. But at the same time, I always, you know, when I'm going into doing a new film, I always do it with blood, sweat, and tears. That's a bad expression, but you understand what I mean. It's like you do it with the whole body and your brains and your gut and your everything, but it's, and your heart, of course. But from this, doing this film, it was because I went into it focusing so much on this human level, like the humans in this film. I knew that I was doing something right. For me, it, of course, I had to solve the whole, you know, spectacle of the film, and you know, but at the same time, the most important thing for me going into this was this, the heart of the film, which is the human beings, and to do those people justice in a way by also showing different kinds, how different we can handle this in a way, and how different we are. At the same time, we're so the same. It's like we're in this together and as a group. At the same time, we are different human beings that deals with these horrific conditions in different ways. And going into that, and to work very closely with actors, that was very important for me, of course, to work very closely with actors and to find the right way in to do something or to in this small, it's like it's a film that takes place over 7 or 8 days. It's a very contained film taking place on this ship with 25 people on board. It's a very it's a small movie in that sense, but it's also you know, it is also easy for me as a film director to kind of go straight to the core of the film because it's not that much that comes in the way. It's just these people and this ship, and that's the film. So that was also quite liberating for me to have that.
One last question for you, Henrik, and it's a tough one. I don't know. How well did your turtle take direction from you in his scenes?
No, the turtle, you know, because I was after reading the script, I said to the producers, I need a dog and maybe a turtle, because it's very common to have these dogs on this ship, because dogs are happy. As long as they're happy, they're happy. And they don't understand the situation they are standing in, so they help the sailors deal with all these difficult physical, psychological emotions, because they were just a happy dog in a way that they could like, you know, focus on. And also that the turtle was something that I think the producers, they thought it was a bit silly, but I said, no, this is something they bought because this ship has been all over the world. It's been to the Caribbean, it's been to New York, it's been to Halifax. So this is something that they bought that Sigurd bought at some point, and that's a part of the legacy of sailors because they've been all over the world. So the turtle was important for me, and yeah, it peed at some point in that scene. But it was we had two or three shots that it went the right direction, that we could have it in the shot for some time, and that was good. That was all I needed, so I was happy.
Well, I can honestly say you are the first director I have ever spoken with that has had to direct a turtle.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
My bucket list is complete now, Henrik. It's complete. Henrik, I can't thank you enough for taking time to talk with me today about the Arctic Convoy and for making this film. As I said at the top, I knew about the convoys. I did not know of Norway's involvement in these convoys. And to see their story told, the story of all of these tens of thousands of sailors, to see their story told with such humanity is really, it's enlightening and it is just inspiring. So thank you for making this film.
Thank you so much for saying that and for all the nice words and for, you know, a nice talk. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Henrik, and I hope we get to talk again at some point in the future.
I hope so too.